Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole, the beginning and ending, the unity of everything in the universe, working together for the good of the universe in everything.
Yeah, emancipate yourself from every slavery, cause none but ourselves can free our kind. How we got it in our mind that we need somebody help to free ourselves. Where reparations don't come from nobody else but Black Hole. Here we go, toe to toe with the beat. Oh no, this fight's solo. Watch me go pro, freeze frame, yo, no, yo, no, yo. You only live organically. I'm back and going hard. I'm black, I show a god. If you acting like I'm not, well, that is no regard. I'm feeling like a lot of shoes got to get broad. I know y'all understanding me, so let's go have this talk. So we can walk this walk in the shoes of Marcus Mosiah, Mo Fire. Grab that chalk. Try to kill the enemy and me. Completely defeat the fear to live in infinity. Yeah, a Black Hole community. Umoja, unity. I told you, you would see Ujamaa moving fluidly. The elder school in me is cool with me, cause it's my show. I love my people, I'm gonna shine on them and help them grow. Gotta go through it, gotta go do it. A lot of flow through it, wasn't in this way. So they did that work for the later day. Even when it hurt and it wasn't no pay. Yeah, still they pray and sang they songs and did they dance. So kids have a chance to break out the trance and come up with plans. Followed by activity, black liberty, maximally rejected. Only the real accepted. B&O don't make you respected. My elders, they got that wisdom. And they take out the time to give some. Spectacular shine like a prism. Refracting our light out the prison of mind, body, and soul. Yes, this is the Black Hole. Yeah, the Black Hole. That Black Hole.
Like back when you was in your mama's womb, and everywhere you looked, it was super black. Black like that, the whole thing in one black space full of water and consciousness and spirit and love. That's who we are, family. Black Hole. Welcome to the conversation tonight. My name is Joshua Sarah. I'll be here facilitating this conversation, as usual, because I love to help my people talk about things and do things that will help us to grow and heal and empower ourselves. Stop asking or begging or looking for anybody else to do anything for us, because we got everything we need to do it. But what is it? Do what? That's the conversation for tonight. What do black people want? There's so much out here being said, so much that we're fighting for. Seems like there used to be some sense of collectivity about what we thought we wanted or what we were fighting for back in the day towards abolition and then civil rights. You know, they were like catchphrases that we knew we wanted this thing, so let's all band together. But what's the catchphrase of today? People don't even know. You know, you got several different organizations working for several different objectives. So if that's the case, that and there's no centralized intelligence, there's no motherboard to this whole situation. It's just a bunch of organs or organizations doing different things, but not collectively feeding the whole body. And that's what we want, is to make sure that all the work that we're doing, no matter what we're doing or who we are or what we're oriented towards, that the work that we're doing collectively is working back towards each other. So let's talk tonight about what do black people want. I've been listening to black people, talking to black people, reading about black people, studying black people, and being a black person my whole life. And so I've got my ideas about what black people want. You know, I've heard so many different ideas. I've had my own, you know, and it's evolved over the course of the years with my intelligence and with my maturity and with my study and with my connection with community. You know, it helps me to understand better what we need as a people, and not individualistically, like, you know, one person might want more money, you know, or they might want land for themselves. But how is that helping our whole collective situation? Because ultimately, right now, we're dealing with a global game. So if you only think it individualistically, you lost out the gate. So it's a team sport right now. This whole global affair, globalization is a reality. And if we're not playing globally, then we're not really playing. You know, Marcus Garvey set that in stone for us to be on a global level. Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King Jr. both got into that on their own levels, and that ultimately, if you ask me, what then put them in the crosshairs, you know, because they were both speaking and working for many years before they got assassinated. So you have to look at what is it that changed in their approach, which would change, you know, this government's approach to dealing with them. So it's when they got more global-minded. It's when they got more open than just their own particular concerns, whether it be Malcolm X with the Nation of Islam, or whether it be Martin Luther King with the black people in the South, you know, and of course he went up to Chicago and dealt with that, you know, so he was on the black people everywhere and he was on freedom everywhere. But then he kind of evolved like Malcolm X to start thinking globally, to start thinking not even just in terms of black people, but a global situation. So, you know, let's get into some of these things, family. The first thing that comes to mind, and I think most people are familiar with at this point, is reparations. People want reparations. Black people want reparations. And what is reparations? You know, by definition, it just means repair for some damage done. And if you take it at face value of the definition, then it's not even possible for America to give black people reparations. They can't repair us. The damage that has been done to us, there is nothing America can do to actually repair it. They can, you know, set up some situations and, you know, make the environment better for us to work on it, but America can't actually give black people true reparations. They can do something nominal. They can give some kind of token. They can do something to, you know, to make an apology, you know, to make right some of the things that have been set off. So reparations is an intelligent discussion. I am not personally for pursuing America to give us reparations. I know that that is a real serious thing that should be considered, that should be put into place, but I don't feel like it's a good use of my energy personally. I appreciate those who have taken the time to really look into study those other cultures, those other nations that have gotten reparations from other countries, you know, and putting that to bear for us as a collective. Reparations is an important thing because America is in the position it's in because of all the free labor it got for hundreds of years. So, yeah, there's nothing that can be taken away from the idea that reparations should be paid by America to the African descendants. I mean, everybody can understand that on the basic level. But when you get into now how should that reparations look, that's when people get confused. Should it be a monetary value? 40 acres and a mule? Can we get a tractor now? It's the new millennium. You know what I'm saying? Can we just get a block? Can I get a brownstone for my group? You know what I'm saying? Some people talk about education, like, you know, free education, tax breaks. You know, it's a lot of different ways that people have discussed how reparations should come. Dave Chappelle even did a skit on it, you know, if reparations were given out, how that would look. And, you know, it was a skit. So, you know, black people got made fun of in terms of the things we spend our money on now, you know, in our collective mentality economically and how an influx of cash would look in a poverty-minded people, you know what I'm saying? So out the gate, you know, just cash in hand, I've watched black people get money. You know, I've watched people hit the lottery, you know, get millions. Like, legit, I was there, saw it happen, family hit millions, money distributed amongst the family, money gone in months, you know what I mean? Millions gone, turned into accessories and vehicles, you know what I'm saying, and club photos with cash out, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it would look like if the majority of black people got reparations, you know. I think only one person in that family bought a house, you know what I mean? Like, everybody else got cars and clothes and jewelry. So, I mean, if you look at it, reparations as a cash thing is somewhat dangerous because the money would go right back to the people who just, you know, broke it off, essentially. So before there's any kind of reparations in a monetary form, you would have to have some real economic education imparted to the people, or else it would be more of a hindrance. You know, that means we'd be smoking more and drinking more and eating more and clubbing more, you know what I'm saying, doing all the things that's draining us now. We just do that more. So you got to make sure that you actually take time to look at it and be like, is reparations in a monetary form useful? I like the idea of education, but I don't like the idea of going to American schools to get that education. You know, what should education really look like? Should it be getting initiated into an African society's spiritual technology? You know what I'm saying? Like, should it be a trip to Africa? Should it be a five-year trip to Africa so you can go home and find your people and reacquaint yourself with the native ways? You know, what is reparations for real if we talk about repairing a people or, you know, compensating a people who's ancestors built this nation, both physically built it and both monetarily built it as the main commodity, the main resource that America had to bring to bear, you know. And And that's a real serious thing to discuss, man. I think there is a lot of information out there if you're interested in finding out about reparations. Like, and America has paid reparations and paid them to the Japanese when it put Japanese people in internment camps, concentration camps during World War II. And we was at war with Japan. America straight locked up all Japanese people, like straight shipped them. Like, nah, y'all got to be in these concentration camps so this whole war is over. You understand? And so after that, they're like, oh, yeah, that was kind of fucked up. That was messed up. Y'all was Americans and we played y'all. Here's some reparations. So they got reparations, you know. The Native Americans have received some form of reparations. Hell, the Jewish people have gotten things that can be called reparations from America. And America wasn't even taking a part of that whole situation. So reparations should not be off the table. You know, a lot of people just think it's unrealistic because it's like, how can you ever pay for that? And that's true. Like, you'd have to bankrupt America to pay the reparations due to the descendants of Africans. Absolutely. You'd have to bankrupt America, which is why they don't discuss it. Another reason they don't discuss it is because they're still doing the same thing. And a real study on what reparations is for is going to reveal that it's still being done now. And that's going to blow the whistle on a whole lot of things that they, you know, have to keep in place in order for America to stay afloat the way it is right now. So they don't want to deal with a reparation situation because it will blow up the spot right now. If it was a past thing, they'd probably be more willing to deal with it. But it's not the past. It's still current. You know, you're asking somebody to apologize while they're still punching you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're in the middle of the fight, and you're like, you should apologize to me. Take it back, you know? And they steady womping on your face, and you're like, apologize! It's not how it goes down, family. So if you're going to deal with reparations, I say reparations is more for the taking when it comes to America. And black people, America ain't prone to give black people nothing that black people don't take for themselves. They'll do some rearrangement and some media spin to make it seem like they came up with something. But if you really study all of our movements in America, as far as black people getting forward movement in the society, America has never granted anything. Black people have fought tooth and nail for every inch they've gotten. Nothing has been given. So, you know, if you want reparations, asking for it is never going to get it. Just know that, you know, you have to take it. And if you're not willing to take it, take reparations off the table. So, you know, I got people on the line. Feel free to hit that number one on your phone if you want to contribute to the conversation at any point. Because I'm going to just keep running through a couple different things that I've heard black people want, you know. I've heard them discuss. And so if you want to jump in and add something to that, please do. The other thing I want to talk about while we're on the Rees is the repatriation, going back to Africa. A lot of people have discussed that as a viable solution, going back to Africa. And on one side, I'm all for it. I feel like that would be beautiful for the black people of America, even if you're not going to live there, to go and visit, to spend some time, absorb your people, smell the smells, eat the foods that are native to your DNA, you know, just kind of reconnect physically and spiritually and emotionally with our homeland. I think that's important to do repatriation. Now, if you're going over there on some old, we better than y'all, and we going to bring civilization to y'all, you on that bullshit, man. And I don't approve of that at all. Don't you dare go to Africa trying to treat Africans like you better than them and you got the leg up and you smarter and more educated and healthier and all that. Nah, man, that's foolishness. Like, the only way you should go to Africa is on a family mode, you know, a love mode. Y'all got something to offer me. I got something to offer y'all. We've been missing each other a long time. Let's reconnect. That's the only reason you should have a mentality to go to Africa, is for reconnection, not to go colonize it with your new blackness, your bougie blackness, none of that, not with your Christianity, not with your fraternity or sorority. Do not go thinking to colonize Africa, because it's not, I mean, if that's what you're doing the same thing Europeans did, you know, going over there like, I got something to give them. And that's, it's mad arrogant and rude and disrespectful. Like, check yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, Africa has generated all the religions of this world that have a name, you know what I'm saying, that you can say out loud and people will recognize. It's generated the sciences, it's generated language and writing. How dare you, you know what I'm saying, take some Johnny-come-lately stuff and roll back on Africa. Also, I'm going to go make Africa a better place. If you're going humbly just to contribute to the movement that's already happening and you study what's happening with the African Union, you understand what's been going on since Kwame Nkrumah and them, if you understand what's happening, then by all means, if you're going to holler at Robert Mugabe and tell him, yo, I appreciate what you're doing, let me see how I can help you deal with it, as opposed to going and saying, oh, Robert, you shouldn't have done that. You know, there was a bit, don't go talking to Africans like they don't know their situation and know who they're dealing with. You know what I mean? Don't play. So repatriation, I think, is great as long as we're not going over as colonizers. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a lot of people that's been pushing for repatriation for over 100 years. And it's funny how few of us have done it, but it's also telling how many of us have done it. And that's not something that gets a lot of media, but a lot of people have repatriated, gone back. Ghana is a main attraction point for a lot of African-American people. It's like, you know what, I'm done. I'm fed up. Some of y'all just now getting hit to it with the whole Donald Trump controversy, but it's been black people that been peeped the game like, yo, this is tired and tiring, and it's not going nowhere. I'm trying to go. I'm out. So there are plenty of organizations set up to help facilitate that. There are, I know Dr. Professor James Small has a place called Sana'a Lodge, and that helps African Americans go over to Ghana and, you know, get acquainted with the place and not be on some touristy colonizing imperialism BS and really go on some humble connectivity and really meet the people and know the people and experience that life, you know. So if you're in a repatriation, good. Check for that. Be smart about it. Be wise. Get some people together. Do some group trips. There's plenty of brothers and sisters that do trips to Africa, all different parts of Africa, man. You know, you can get you about a week to 10 days worth of traveling in the continent with somebody that's guided tours. So check for that. You know, it's a beautiful situation. I'm going to jump one more thought out there, and then I'm going to get to the lines. Free the land. I don't know if y'all ever heard that phrase. Free the land. That's a phrase by a group called Encobra, which has been working diligently to get America to set aside land for African people to have and have their own sovereign nation. Now, in theory, I think that's a great idea, in theory. But in everything else, nah. I don't know about that, homie. Because, I mean, first of all, you know, my first thought on that is it's not going down. Like, America don't give up nothing. America takes, but it don't give up nothing. It's always looking to expand its territories. And it don't make everything part of America, but it will make it a territory. It will put a military base on it. It will claim some land. But I ain't never seen them give up land, not ever. So asking America to give up some land, I don't know about that one, homie. And even if they did, like, you know, I saw that they were mainly talking about some of the southern states like Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi type area. If they did that, and you ain't even taking Florida, you just letting people in Florida as part of America. If they did that, it would be so dangerous for the black people living in these states. Because now it's easy target. Y'all remember Tulsa, Oklahoma? You got a whole bunch of black people in one spot. You drop one bomb, you get them all. You know, y'all remember Move in Philadelphia? You drop one bomb, you get them all. So now you done put all the black people together. You drop one bomb per state, you get them all. You know, I don't trust the idea of having a black nation within the borders of the contiguous 48 American states. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like a dangerous situation in general, especially if you look at how America expanded in the beginning, from how it went from colonies, you know, to the entire continent. They had this whole manifest destiny situation that they was working with, where they, like, you know, God gave us the right to take land, you know? And then they had this whole concept of, they have to expand their borders, because if they border against somebody that's a threat, then that's a threat. And we can't leave nobody on a threat level next to us. So they was like, we got to expand from this ocean to the next ocean, so we don't need no threats. You see what I'm saying? And that's why they kept wiping out Native Americans. That's why they wouldn't even leave the French or the Spanish. They're like, y'all all threats. We wiping y'all out. We taking over. Yo, eminent domain, your ass. They will take your land, and they will say it's their God-given right. That is American history. If you're trying to ignore that and act like it's somehow a new era, you are mistaken. I know the signatures on the documents that started this country have not been taken off. They have not signed new things in public, at least, you know what I'm saying, to put us on a new path, and they've only gotten more imperial. So the idea of having land inside the United States for black people to move to, while in theory, if this was like, you know, an equitable world and a peaceful world and a transparent world, okay, I'm all for it. But in this shady, covert world with, you know, all kinds of weapons that they will use and not even tell you they developed these weapons, I don't trust it. I can't rock with it, y'all. Enough respect. Like, again, I got respect for all the people working, whether I agree with what you're working on or not, whether I agree with how you're working on it or not. I respect you are working, that you're putting in time, that you have thought about it, that you're putting resources and time and energy into doing something, into changing the situation. And if your way works, I'm going to celebrate it. And I'm going to be like, well, yep, I didn't call that when I was wrong. I said that was that bullshit, but I was wrong. They pulled it off. More power to us. You know what I mean? I'm not arrogant to think that just because I've studied some things, I know it all. You know, I'm going to be proven wrong plenty of times, I'm sure. But when I analyze things on a basic level, I can see if something has a good trajectory for us or not. And just having some land inside of America does not look right, especially when you look at Tulsa and you look at Waco, Texas, and you look at Move in Philly. Like, you know, we've had our enclaves and they will bomb you. That's their policy. So, yeah. So those are three off the top. I'm going to get on the line real quick. Got some people wanting to chime in with y'all. Right now on the line, I got Chris James, looking like you're calling from Virginia area. You on the line?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show,
how
bro.
You
how
doing?
You feeling?
I'm
great,
I'm good.
Man. How about
good.
Yourself? Good, good. So what you thinking about the conversation, man? What do black people want?
That was basically what I was calling in to address on both sides. I also feel that as far as black people as a whole, like you were saying in your earlier statement, that it's not just a American problem, it's a worldwide problem. And I also feel that mostly black people should use the social media networks that they have such avenue on, like Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, to basically network with people that are outside of the U.S. to also bring together the unity that we need, because more unity will come from outside of the United States than in it. And I've seen that from just between the disagreements between the local neighborhoods about who can come where and who can live where and who's allowed to dress like what and all of that. That's one disagreement. But as far as the social media networks is concerned, I think they should use that network. Now, the second point I wanted to make was what you addressed as far as making different educational opportunities and basically starting our own version of our own communities within the 48 states. That would be something that I would be against, because of the simple fact that we have just as many opportunities to create, but we don't have the opportunity. And that's something that they won't let us do. They are going to confine us to one area, one neighborhood, or one section of a state, one section of a city, or something to that nature, to where we can't expand. So it, to me, it still would be as if you were to take the ghetto or to take a local neighborhood area that's mostly a majority black and then do exactly what it's doing now, only to network with other cities or other states to share ideas, but you can't expand to where they could come over to your section, or you could have a single state to yourself instead of just a single neighborhood. So that's why I think that would be a bad idea. Now, as far as going home to the motherland, that was something that I would take much pride in everybody attempting to do. I have never been personally myself, but I would hope that everybody would look into it, for the simple fact that we have more people willing to reach out from there to help us to get there and to help us expand there than we do in our own country here. And I'm not disrespecting anybody that believes that America is, you know, it was built by the ancestors and it was upgraded by the ancestors, so to speak, where it was originally planned to be. But I would also say that I think it's a bad idea due to the fact that we have no security here. We have the military more against us than with us. So my whole goal was to have the elders that have been members of the military from years back to go and actually explain the truth to the people that's actually trying to join the military now, and explain to them that this would be a bad idea. this would be a bad thing for you to do, because you're helping the government and aiding the government and taking us out for the simple reason of putting everybody in an isolated section of a community, and that's wrong. You can't keep everybody in one patch, so to speak. And that's one of the biggest strides that I think. But far as a whole, to answer the question, I think that black people want unity, but they don't know how to get it. They have to take off each section and do it one at a time. And I think Dr. Claude Anderson gave up a big, big point on how to do that by basically taking the politics, the media, such as you're doing with your show, and other avenues that we do control, like entertainment could be one, and using the money that you gain from it for power. And once you buy your political power, then you make the decisions on the mayors and the governors and things that you can't control as a regular citizen without having some kind of federal position. And then you can go from there to distribute the money to the black community to upgrade, instead of having just sections of the community with poor education and poor streets and poor neighborhood housing communities, or whatever you want to call them, the poor sections of the city. You can use the money and distribute it evenly and equally smart as you can with buying politicians and buying people that would have the power to change those things. But you can't do it if you all stuck upon one section and depending on, like I've seen most people talk about the entertainers, and they all depend on the entertainers to invest into the community, but those entertainers don't have any political power. So once the money is gone, the movement is gone. So I feel that, like I said, networking outside of the country and bringing those people and that money and that idea power that they have. Because I ain't going to lie to you, I have been taught things by people that live in Africa that I don't even know, you know, and I would be a fool to say that they can't teach me anything. They taught me more than I learned in the U.S. They know more about the U.S. than we do. Trust me.
True.
And from what they talk about and the things that they say, the best way for us to do it is unity, but we have to use the resources that we have available to Unity Network. So I think that would be the answer to the question. They want unity. And I've seen that with gangs.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying you spot on with that, man. And that's a real thoughtful answer. I appreciate, you know, the depth of which you went into that, man. That's real solid thinking. And in fact, it's spot on, man. Especially, I mean, the underlying concept that we want unity, that is what we want, you know. And I feel like, you know, as far as you saying we don't know how to get it or what that looks like, it's because we're lacking a certain vulnerability with each other to be open to that space that it takes to trust each other. You know what I'm saying? So if you can't trust somebody, you definitely can't be unified with them, you know. So
yeah,
to be able to work through the idea of trusting each other, that's really, I think, the most serious work that we have to do with each other is to reinstate trust with each other. And it just takes a certain vulnerability that we're scared to have because we, you know, we raised in a bully society, you know, in a society that will mock you and tease you if you show your vulnerability. So we never know when we can trust each other enough to get into those spaces. But I have seen people working to create those spaces with each other, you know, brothers and sisters coming together to have vulnerable spaces, to have open discussions. And I think that at the bottom level is going to help with that unity concept, man, because, everything we're dealing with, you know, it won't work without unity, even if you're trying to rely on the celebrities, like you said, because if they don't feel connected to black people, because they ain't partying with black people, they ain't living around black people, they ain't working with black people, you know what I'm saying? So why should they feel unity with us if they that disconnected? You know, what is that going to benefit them? And,
Oh, not to cut you off, but I was just saying that I've seen that even with when it comes to gangs, when it comes to just the local neighborhood, you know, rallies that they hold and have and different ideas that they come together with. I have seen that they have attempted to bond as much as they possibly could. But like you said, it's the vulnerability of it. They're afraid of the downturn. Yeah. They're afraid of, if I use this, will it come back to bite? You know, if I put my all into it, will it fail because somebody else is not playing their role as a team?
Yeah, exactly.
And those are the things that we have to actually put to the side. We have to actually take that risk with our own people, because from different walks of life, it's going to come somebody who you can't judge. You have to wait him out and see what kind of person he is. You have to sit back and learn from it, even though you don't want to learn from him because you know it all from certain people that feel they know it all, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to sit back and you have to learn from them, and you have to take in things and analyze, because, like I said, I'm a growing person. I don't know everything, but I have been in situations where people have taught me things that I have no clue about, and I actually ended up learning more from them than I did from people that we all talked about the same subjects and we all knew what was going on. You know, and that's something that's cool on all ends, on all fronts. And I would love to take whatever benefits that I can provide for people and use them to the best of my ability to keep us together as one. And I always did love being on black topics and black discussions. But the biggest problem that I've seen that people have had with me is the issue of race mixing that I talk about. And the reason why I talk about it and I hit it as hard as I do when people do see me talk about it is because of the fact that we have to start with us first. We cannot continue to put all people included in black topics and black discussions. You have to keep it amongst ourselves, because we're the only one that needs fixing. I talk to my wife about it all the time, and I tell her that we're the only people that work year-round and own nothing. And that's true. But it's not to disrespect the black people. It's to motivate the black people to separate from the government, because that's what I feel that we also need and want, separation from the system. And the only way to get separation from the system is to abandon it completely. Not as not as abandoning as you would say, you know, like most people ask me all the time, well, if I leave my job, you know, what would I do? Or where would I go? Or how would I feed my family? You have to ask yourself, how did we feed our family before there were jobs? How did we feed our family before there was money? And then you'll figure out the answer to your own question. But also, as far as the system goes and as far as using legislation for liberation, I think that's BS. And that's because you can't, like you said earlier, you can't beg the system to change the system. You can't get police to police police. You see how stupid that sentence sounds? You can't get police to police police. So you have to get people to organize their own. And I like the way the Black Panthers are doing that. The new Black Panther Party is doing that. And they are organizing and getting people in weapons training. I like that, and I appreciate that for them for doing that, because it's a lot of people that own weapons and don't know how to operate them. And those are things that they really need to have background on. And also, I appreciate the RBG rallies, and I would love to speak at one. If it's in the local area of Virginia, I would love to speak at one, because I love the fact that they are now taken to the streets, as Garvey did, but they're taken to the streets in different states. It's not just one movement in one part of town that goes around like a tour. It's more like each city has their own version of it, and they're all taken to it.
Yeah.
With truth and pride, and I like that.
Yeah. Chris, I appreciate your call, brother. Everything you said was on point, man. And
I
hope to hear from
you
again. You know, if you can go on to the Facebook page, man, and like maybe put some information up there, man. You know, we always got people looking to connect with brilliant people. You know, I know you're in the Virginia area, probably look like you're in the Florida, Hampton, Newport News type area, man. So, I know it's enough people out there that's thoughtful and intelligent and conscious. So, you know, if you put your information on the Black Hole Talk Facebook page so people can link with you, man, like, we'd appreciate that. You know, it's Bill.
Oh, yes, sir. I appreciate you for having me.
All right, brother. Enjoy the day, man. We'll talk again.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Peace. So, yeah, so that was Brother Chris James, man, you know, dropping some real good information and thoughts. And it's good to hear people having these thoughts and having these discussions already, man. And that's one of the reasons that's the show's topic tonight, is that there are a lot of people having these conversations right now, discussing what is it that black people want. You know, it's a boiling point. You know, a lot of people are concerned with war that we see in social media and in mainstream media nowadays being very highly broadcast, you know, and highly publicized. And it's not to say that we haven't been getting killed since they first caught some of us in Africa, you know, and put us on boats and brought us over here. It's been a constant war against black people. There is no confusion about that for those of us who are open-eyed. But right now it's just so in your face. You know, it's a lot of people catching it with their cell phones, and so it's way more accessible right now to be able to see what happens to black people. And so, like Chris was saying, linking up with people outside of this country is a major step, a major turning point in the thought processes of many civil rights activists and before and after, you know, is the idea that we are a Pan-African people, that we have black people on every continent. And so if that's the case, if we start putting our power together and our intelligence together, our resources together, then it gives us more of a unified front to deal with the situation and not be held towards the back in all situations because we don't have a unified front. It's easy to take us off if they can always step to somebody who is willing to be the sellout, who is willing to be the Sam Snead. You know, pause for a second, y'all. Pause for 1 second. Uncle Tom is a phrase we use to say the bad guy, you know, the sellout. But if you read the book or saw the movie Uncle Tom's Cabin, who that phrase comes from, Uncle Tom was actually the hero. He was actually the OG for the black people. It was not Uncle Tom that was the sellout, which I think that's funny, and that's just a side note. Look it up yourselves. We just be using words and phrases and don't even know what we're talking about sometimes, man. It just sounds right. But back to the conversation. We need the unity, man. We need to really be able to trust each other. And it's the sellout situation that has us nervous. And I mean, I'll be honest myself, ever since I came into a real consciousness of spirituality and of global politics and history, I have been bothered with the idea of sellouts, of Judases, of that concept, because it's been there so much. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to fall into that distrust mode. But if we stay in a feeling of distrust, then we don't grow. We don't go anywhere, and it makes us easy targets. It's easy to pick us off. Y'all have all, you know, heard the analogy of breaking a stick by itself, but if you put a bundle of sticks together, they don't break so easy. And so it's easy to know the concept, but then to actually stay in that place of unity, of trust, of vulnerability, and allow each other to make mistakes, to be human with each other, you know, in our blackness, knowing that we are all dysfunctional. We do have some things to heal from and grow from, and not to abandon ship every time somebody has a stumble, you know, and be like, see, I knew it. Niggas can't never do right. You know, we'd be quick to abandon ship when somebody trip and stumble. Like, oh, see, you can't run good. You tripping and stumbling. I don't want you on my team. It's like, damn, it was a big log in the way. You ain't see the log? I ain't see it either. That's why I tripped and stumbled. Like, but show me some love. Like, have some mercy. Have some compassion for our people so that we can get back to a trusting place and not always assume somebody's out to get you just because they do something that does hurt you or injure you in some way. You can't always assume they out to get you or they the sellout or they the one, they the Judas. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to have love and compassion for each other. That's one of the things, like the brother said, we want unity. I think that is a real fact. I think that is one of the burning desires amongst black people, is to have that fellowship again, to have that walk down the street and just have a look with each other like, yeah, right on, brother, right on, sister. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we miss that and yearn for that and crave that. And I think that's why we always have our throwbacks. You know, like when I was growing up, the 70s was the phase, or the 60s even. Now people are throwing back to the 80s and the 90s. And there's always this feeling of that was the good old days. That's back before it was so crazy. But if every generation is trying to throw back to the good old days, back before it was so crazy, that means it's always been crazy and it's always been the good old days. You know what I'm saying? So to be able to embrace ourselves in the moment and acknowledge that, yeah, we're struggling. We got some problems. We done been through it. Yeah, I'm going to make some mistakes. Yeah, I turned into a liar. Yeah, I'm a thief. You know what I'm saying? And be able to deal with people through that and give them a healing, patient space to grow out of it, to come out of it, and not fire on them as soon as they do something off. But to be willing to say, you know what, I know that you're just doing that because you're on some bullshit. I know that. And so I ain't going to hold it against you right now because I got deeper love than our dysfunction. You know, it took us several hundred years to get into the state we in and to expect people to come out of it just because they read a John Henry Clark book or they read the autobiography of Malcolm X. That ain't fair. You know what I'm saying? It's not fair to expect people to be perfect just because they read a book and went to a lecture and watched a documentary. You know, it's going to take some time, and it's going to take a lot of patience on our behalf. Those of us who are somewhat awakened and have love and compassion in our hearts, it's going to take some time. We're going to have to go work with our people and expect to get bruised and beaten and battered a little bit. You don't have to expect that, and have some healing space for yourself ready, you know, have some protection ready, and have some patience with them, you know, and have the love to work through it and continue through it, even if it takes some time, even if it don't turn around right away. So, yeah. Other things that people might want, man. Sovereignty, that's the thing I hear a lot amongst the Moors, you know, the black people in America who identify themselves with the Moorish people, Moorish Science Temple, Noble Drew Ali, and on down, you know. And the brothers be sharp, you know, when it comes to understanding the law and finding ways to deal with the law. I feel like ain't nobody touching them. You know, they really take the time. They get in the Black's Law Dictionary. They understand the terms. They be real precise about what words they use and don't use and what they want you to use. Sovereignty is always pending upon land, though. You know what I'm saying? Sovereignty being, you know, basically saying there is no power above you other than God. Like, the government has no dominion over man. Man has the dominion over government. And the only thing that has dominion over man is God. That's law. That's a legal situation I'm discussing. I ain't talking philosophy or psychology or religion. I'm talking law. That God is the first authority. Man is the next authority. Government is the next authority. So if you understand that, you know, then stepping into a courtroom is a whole different situation. If you understand that you're the one who has the power in that situation, as opposed to, you know, you going in there because you got a summons and you feel like, if I don't go, I'm going to jail, so I got to go. I'm under duress. Like, don't even approach it under duress. Approach it with supreme authority and power. Like, you are the sovereign. But to deal with sovereignty on a legal level, on a national level, you do have to have some land. You know, you got to say, I exist somewhere. You know, like, it's hard to respect a king with no kingdom, right? So you got to understand what is your dominion when you get into sovereignty. And it comes from a spiritual place. So if you don't understand spiritual matters, it's hard to really even deal with sovereignty. It's not all understanding the legal side of it. It's really not. If you're dealing with sovereignty, that means your power comes from God. So if all you're studying is man's law, then you're not fully understanding sovereignty. You're understanding how to talk legalese about sovereignty. So I feel like it's more important to be sovereign than to be able to prove that you're sovereign. Because to be, it means you're having the life of freedom. You're having a divine life ordained by God and supported by nature and the universe. That's sovereignty. You know, if you got to keep going to court because of tickets and, you know, and silly stuff, then that's, you know, that's a waste of time. And we got to get beyond just playing legal games with this system, because they liked playing legal games. Like, I've watched plenty of videos about free man societies and the Moors going into court and really challenging judges. And sometimes you'll see the judge will walk out unable to do anything with this person. The judge will leave the scene like, okay, I'm out, y'all. This dude know what he's talking about, and I'm about to get in trouble, so I got to go. So, I mean, I got mad respect for the brothers and sisters who know how to go into court and handle that biz. You know, I've learned a lot myself, so I don't have to deal with no funny stuff about the courts. And just to say it on an intelligent note about the courts, don't wait till you have to go to court. Deal with it. You know, when they send you some paperwork, answer the paperwork and put your own statements in there. Put your own requirements. Put your own fees in there. Like, study that stuff, because you can do all of that. Like, you can charge the government for things, but you got to set up a schedule of fees, and you got to have it legally in the system. If you put it legally in the system, you can charge the police officer for having you step out of the car if they pull you over. You know, like, that's reality. You can have a schedule of fees associated with your property. And your property is that thing that's created with your birth certificate. If you understand all of that simple stuff, like, there is your real person. With or without a birth certificate, you exist. You know what I'm saying? So with the birth certificate, it's not actually giving you life, right? It doesn't allow you to be born. You know what I'm saying? It's the creation of a corporate entity. And if you understand how to execute that corporate entity, because you are the executor of the account, then you can go into any courtroom like it's a business meeting about this account, as opposed to some criminal activity or some legal proceeding. Go into it like it's a business meeting, and you'll be straight and maintain your sovereignty. You go in there like a boss, like, I'm a boss, which I need with my account. No, I didn't authorize that. No, I didn't authorize that. Anything else? Okay, goodbye. You know what I'm saying? Like, understanding that side of sovereignty is very important. And I think all black people should have it. I think all people on the planet should have it. But I think it's important for black people to understand their authority and their dominion, no matter what land they're in, whether we're in America, whether we move to the continent, whether we hit up some island somewhere. You need to understand sovereignty, because that is the name of the game. It's being able to control your life and your world and not depending on a government system. You're not a ward of the state. You're not depending on the state for it to care for you. You take care of yourself. That's what sovereignty is about, and that's what we want to be about, taking care of ourselves. We have everything we need to take care of ourselves. So it's important to handle that space, man, and really understand that. So I implore you all to look up sovereignty. Be sovereign, right? Be that. I got a caller on the line. I want to get in for y'all. Got sisters in here. Andrea is on the line. Are you with me, sis? Andrea, are you on the line? Andrea, maybe? Not
I'm
right
here.
Now.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, brother?
There she
I'm
is.
Here.
Hi. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm all right. I apologize for the delay.
No,
I know
worries.
Our time here is short, but it was so much good information. I just like to put out the art of war is knowing how the enemy fights. There is change that can be made, but with that, being where you are and knowing what to do, you know, in the circumstances that you're in, there's a disagreement with the last brother. We are in America as a capitalist society, so money is leverage, you know. Sometimes doing what you need to do and being where you need to be, you need some money. So having people or knowing people, like he said, celebrities, sometimes it's not who you know, but who they know. I was just reading an article that there are 10 very predominantly wealthy areas in the United States that are predominantly black, and it's not just black home ownership, it's black neighborhoods. You know, the Jewish people do it up here in Carriage Joel. There's black schools, black churches, black bus companies, black florists, black teamstress, you know, I'm sorry, Jewish in this community where they rely on their own people for every facet of their life that they could possibly need. So, you know, money speaks volumes, especially here in the United States, and even when you're talking becoming sovereign, you know, there you still have to be able to negotiate, you know, in a lawyer environment, in a courthouse. You still need to be able to navigate and do what you need to do, and unfortunately or fortunately, it takes money. Even if you're going to, I was reading again, maybe an article that you posted up yourself, Mrs. Sarah, about how Africa is allowing us now to have dual citizenship in different African countries and nations, you know. But with that, it takes money to get from here to there. So, you know, capitalism, it drives the nation, unfortunately, and you know, that money, I see there's a bank in Atlanta that's moved over $10 million in the last 30 days, and they're using that money to give back, you know, give back to the community and grow their neighborhoods. And, you know, I disagree with that, brother. Education is key, you know, in the form of education, you know, not a white-governed education. You know, knowing your history, why it's important, you know, what your land, what reparations you are due, you know, knowing what you said about your birth certificate, that, you know, it didn't allow you to be born. You are an entity in a corporation and a business, but that knowing and getting that information out to the youth now will change the future later, you know. So that too is key in the way we grow our children up and the examples that we lead. And, you know, sometimes what you do now in this moment may not be for this moment, but for posterity, you know, for what I'm leaving behind. Because, you know, I can make moves now, and there's no guarantee that I'm going to see those changes. Shoot, you know, being real, there's no guarantee that my children are going to see these changes the way, you know, our black lives are may not matter. You know what I mean? So there's a, you know, I'm trying to hit a lot of points. because the call, you know, hit a lot of points. But at the end of the day, capitalism, money is leverage, and you can't make moves without money. You can't make moves without education. You can't make moves without community. You can't make moves without like-minded people. You know, each one teach one. You got to be able to have a group, a collective organization, community, like-minded people willing to move and migrate at the same time, like you said, an open time, so to speak, turning against the ideals and, you know, ideologies of the people. It takes one bad apple to spoil a whole bunch. You know, so a lot of these things, I really believe that what he said about social media bringing a lot of knowledge and awareness to the forefront and to woke people and people that have normally had their eyes closed, you know, using that as a catalyst to get the word out. You know, I don't want to be a pessimist in the sense that I don't believe it cannot be done. It may not be done in my lifetime, but, you know, definitely whether it is, you know, we take back some land. There's in South Carolina, unfortunately, the land is now being, you know, eaten up by a big investor who wants to turn this into a resort. But there's, you know, some land in South Carolina that, you know, they're maintaining ownership to the slaves that came here, you know, from Africa, that this land is ours. And, you know, they're upkeeping traditions and not religion, so to speak, but traditions as far as honoring the ancestors, you know, things of that nature. But without knowledge, none of this would be worth it. Without education and, unfortunately, without capitalism. So in order to grow, in order to go, in order to get through where we need to get through, it's going to take money and it's going to take leverage and it's going to take not what you know but who you know. That, you know, sometimes money gives you a voice, you know, so sometimes you need that next person who's in a different arena to speak for you, to be the voice for you. So, you know, again, I thank you for the call, and you're always a wealth of information, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, let me ask you something before you go. As far as, because I agree that you need to have leverage, and I understand we're in this capitalist society, and you need to know how to the capitalist mechanisms in order to make things move here. Do you feel like Black people can find another source of leverage other than capital while living here?
Definitely. I mean, like I said, knowledge is power, but creating a different form of capital. You know, back if you go back to a system of bartering and trading, you know, there's a lot of things that Black people do, that action, leverage, knowledge, you know, just think. If slaves knew at the time that they were slaves that they were going to build the greatest country in the world, I think if they knew what they had when they had in their actions, that the economy wouldn't be what it is today. You understand? So sometimes there is a trade of capital, action, education, you know, selling myself. Everything that I do, I market myself as an entity and a corporation, whether it's my words, my knowledge, my time. You're going to have to pay me. If you're benefiting from anything that I'm doing, that, you know, and that's just it. But if every individual treated themselves as a corporation, as a whole, there is a barter and trade for life and capital. But unfortunately, when in Rome, you have to live like the Romans, and unfortunately, America doesn't see every individual as such. You know, so I said, maybe not right now. Maybe posterity, maybe our kids will figure out how to turn the system upside down. But I really believe that there is a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
True that. Just thanks for the call, sis. All of that was beautiful. And I appreciate you sharing and, you know, giving some thoughts and some counterpoints to what the brother was sharing earlier, because we do need a multiplicity of angles to look at this, because, yeah, one person ain't going to never have it all, but we all got our pieces to understand how this is all supposed to come together so we can move forward in a strong way. So I appreciate that a lot. So give thanks, sis, and please do continue to call us back. You know, if you want to put your information up, if people want to get with you so they can understand some of the stuff you was dropping science, go drop some contact, your Facebook or something on the Facebook page for Black Hole Radio. We really appreciate that. You still there, sis?
Yes, yes. Definitely.
Okay.
All I'm
right,
sorry.
So have a good one. No, yeah.
Thank you so much. Living up here in the mountains, the signal is sketchy.
Right on. Okay, good biz, good biz. All right, have a good one, sis.
Thanks.
So that was Sister Andrea right there. And I think that's a real important concept to add is, you know, as much as we want things to be different, we got to deal with where we are and what the situation is. And I'm not against understanding where we are and how the game is played here because, you know, I consider myself an Ethiopian, which means I feel comfortable anywhere on the planet. And I realize that if I'm in different places on the planet, they got different resources and they got different traditions and different technologies to use. So I'd have to adapt wherever I am. And right now I'm in America. And, you know, I don't freak out about the whole capitalism situation no more. You know, I don't like it. It's some bullshit if you ask me. You know, I went to school for business and in economics 101, they tell you how shady it is, but they tell it to you like, you know, that's just the way it is. So, you know, learn how to work it. And I looked at it like, no, this is shady and this ain't the way everybody does it. So it doesn't have to be this way. This is just the way that y'all like to have it because this allows y'all to like victimize people and they don't know that you victimize the people and you can live a comfortable life. The nature of capitalism says that somebody has to be poor. There has to be an impoverished class for capitalism to work functionally. And I don't agree with that. You know, I don't like that situation because I am a person who thinks abundance. I come from a people who are on a land where there's all wealth and resources. So the idea of capitalism, which comes from scarcity, is an aberration to me. It don't even sit in my soul right. But that's where I'm at, so I can't even ignore it, you know. I got to deal with it. So understanding capitalism, I think it's great, having people on board who know how to work the mechanisms of capitalism, I think is wonderful. You know, you got people like Claude Anderson that's broken it down beautifully as far as how to deal with black economics. You got Dr. Boyce right now. He's dropping a lot of gems. So, I mean, we got people who are solid on it, who know the science of money, of capitalism, and then put it in a format where black people can understand it and use it and utilize it and not have no problems. But, you know, I do know that we do have an innate distrust of capitalism because we have been capital ourselves. So it's understandable that we have a problem with it. But it is something we can use. This is just a tool, you know, and to treat it as such and become masters at it, then it wouldn't really be a stumbling block for us as long as we didn't actually become capitalists. That's when you put the value of capital over the value of everything else, you know, including human lives, animal lives, the plants and the earth itself. And we don't want to think like capitalists, but we do want to be able to work the capitalist system. So, you know, enough respect to all the different viewpoints, man. We need all these different advantages to understand the totality we're dealing with. That's why this is the black hole. I got another caller on the line. Let me bring her on. We got Shies on here. Can you hear me, sis?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hello?
Welcome to the show. How you feeling? Yeah, can you hear me?
Thank you. I feel great. Yeah, I feel good.
Okay, cool. So what do you think? What do black people want?
Okay, so what I think black people want is a little bit of what Andrea said and a lot of bit of what Chris said. So I think black people want unity. I think black people don't really know how to get unity, and they're too afraid to say, I want to feel comfortable enough to trust someone and consider someone like my brother or my sister, even though they might not be a blood relative. Like, yeah. To me, repatriation is, I would say, a long-term goal of mine. I've been looking into it, but I haven't really found any real way because, of course, I need money, like Andrea said. So, and it's really expensive to just go and just leave and drop everything and drop family members and people that are not ready to go with you and things like that. But I do feel like traveling outside of America will be the first step for many, if not all of us. I think moving around and going and experiencing different places helps us as people, as individuals, understand things in a different way, affect our perceptions in a different way, help our dreams think differently. That basically just helps. It's hot where I am. So I'm doing something kind of time. All right. So my main thing is repatriation. I think that us being able to go back to Africa and learn from our ancestors and just be on the land is probably what a lot of us want. It should be nicknamed the second great migration. So it's a, it's, how do I say it? I don't know. I'm just, I'm sorry, I'm hot. And, so repatriation, it's my form of Black people want. Outside of that, I think that education is key to everything. I think that, say, for example, if we had unity amongst each other, we can depend on each other for different things. I might be one kind of expert. You would be another kind of expert. And person C would be another kind of expert. If I run into a problem that person C could handle like the expert that they are, then I can call on person C to help me, and they would give me that due to our unity. I would have that trust in that person to handle it just like they were handling it for themselves. Or someone could reach out to me for something that they know that I work really well in, and if we have that unity to just lean on each other, then I think that is something that we ultimately want and need, which is, bottom line, unity.
Yeah.
Right.
I completely agree with that. That is the bottom line. Like, because everything else won't work if there's no unity. And I've watched, you know, my communities try to work together and put things together, and because of a lack of basic trust and unity, things fall apart, you know? Like that Chinua Achebe novel, things fall apart, man. So, yeah, I appreciate that. That's a valid contribution. as far as Black people wanting unity, do you see any ways, like any practical ways they can go about facilitating that trust again, that feeling of that's my brother, that's my sister?
I think that that actually starts with the individual, as we are all individuals. And if I don't consider myself a trustworthy person, then I would not be able to trust anyone else. No one would in their right mind be able to trust me. So I can't have unity with people who know me and people that I know if I am not a trustworthy individual. Like earlier today, I was having a conversation with a friend, and basically in different cultures, they don't have the term cousin. They don't have a cousin. Like, say, for example, if you were my cousin, you would be my brother. And that would be the term that I would use for you. If I had a female cousin, that would be my sister, and that would be the term I would use for her. So cousin... Yeah. In my opinion, that conversation pretty much was just like how we all need to embrace another level or a different level of closeness with each other. That way we can trust each other more easily and think of each other in a more personal way, in a more family type way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I appreciate that. 'Cause that is, I mean, I grew up in a time where there was still that family feeling in the neighborhood, you know, where neighbors looked out for each other's children. And it was still mad dysfunction, right? I'm pretty sure, you know, we got robbed one time when I was young, and I'm pretty sure it was just the next door neighbor who used to babysit us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's mad dysfunction, right? But there was still a feeling that, you know, if we were outside and she was outside, we knew we was looked after, you know? And other people's children was our cousins. Even if we was all just friends, you know, we looked out for each other like what's mine is yours. So there's definitely a feeling of that amongst us that's just instinctual, you know. And, like, I watch
even
children nowadays.
Even what? Sorry, I was just saying, I said, even when outsiders come, like, I don't know about school that you went to, like, but I went to Park West, which is a predominantly Black high school. Whenever people would come, like, people would always fight to settle differences, but if any people who were not from the school came to fight someone who was a part of our school, there would be people who are not necessarily friends with certain groups that would still fight alongside them because of that. That's what I'm saying, like, just to protect your own. Even if I don't necessarily like you, you're still a part of who I am. You're still a part of my faction. You're still a part of my group, my home. So I will always protect you, even if I don't necessarily like you. That's the loyalty. That's the family. That's the trust.
Right.
So
I was just saying that I see a lot of children. It's just a lot of children. Like, I watch children. I mean, adults do it too, but I'm more interested in how the children develop. And I watch them when they have, like, tablets or cell phones, and you know, they just so absorbed in them and, you know, and become very protective of them. This is my phone. This is my tablet. And it becomes their own little individual
right.
world, especially if they get into social media and there's Musical.ly out and all these different things that the children get into. And then they have their own little world, which is separate from their family, even though they might all be sitting in the same room together, you know. So that feeling of connectivity with the people around you is being eroded by these devices that people are buying for their children, you know, thinking they hooking them up somehow. It's an interesting kind of dynamic to watch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some active ways. So, you know, I am glad that I do know of people who get together, who, you know, spend time with children, who do nation-building activities that look like just community time spent, you know, a potluck even, you know, something simple like that. People getting together to have a gathering to play music or to just vibe, you know, play some cards. Like, simple things like that are what bond us, you know. Like, I was walking
yeah.
down the street in Brooklyn, in the neighborhood is predominantly West Indian, you know, it's a Caribbean kind of neighborhood mixed with black people, you know,
mm-hmm.
American black people. And I just felt great because it was a hot summer night. You know, I don't know if the rest of the country is in this heat wave, but it's hot up here in New York right now. And people just sitting outside, you know, it was a bunch of storefronts, you know, people sitting outside apartments and storefronts and people walking up and down the street and just engaging each other and speaking and greeting. And it just reminded me of how things used to be more generally, you know. Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
then I was in another neighborhood the next day or later that same day that was like Manhattan on the east side, Fifth Avenue. And it was like nobody was out. Nobody was – there was no community, no village feeling, no sense of liveliness, you know, except the stray person walking the dog or something, you know. So just that energy
right.
of community and village of we out with each other, man, like that's being eroded by the TVs and the Netflix and the tablets and things. But if we can spend some time just – sitting outside again, you know, simple things like that, sip some tea and talk about the day's happenings. That alone is
right.
such a bonding element and helps us get back to that state of feeling unified, you know. So we don't get it. I can see it. You know, I see it all the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
I
appreciate your call.
I can't today, apparently. But
you did what?
I do have things that I will add to the website, to the fan page, I mean.
Right on.
Hello?
And
yeah.
for everybody, yeah, for everybody who clicks in on the fan page, the Facebook page. This is the system that puts up a lot of the information there and all the details from the show. So thank you for that. We appreciate your contribution. So give thanks for your comments and your time, sis.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Peace. So that was just a shot right there. You know, and we are some thoughtful people, man. If nothing else, we are thoughtful people, and I invite y'all to become action people if you're not already, to take some of the thoughts that we talk about on this show, that you talk about with your friends and your family, that y'all converse about on the social media, and just go do some action about it, you know, because the one thing I think that is bothering people, like we keep saying we want the unity, and the root of that is this feeling of isolation. We feel alone. We feel disunified, and if we take the time to do the work, you'll find other people out there doing the work too. You know, and then you'll find your people, you'll find your village, you'll find your Voltron team, you know, and that's how I've always found my communities is by being out there doing what I do. You know, I've gone to many places in many cities that I'm a newcomer to and just go out. You know, I go out to the things that I resonate with and find other people resonate with them and we start building. You know, it's that simple, man. Just go out where you feel inclined and you'll find other people that's so inclined. And connect and be willing to be vulnerable and be honest and show them yourself without your masquerade, without your ambassador, without your work voice and your work face and your work clothes. You know, just be yourself with somebody and connect, you know, reconnect and get this bond reestablished so we can build on the unity. Because then once we got unity, it's easy to get the reparations. It's easy to repatriate. It's easy to get land for ourselves. You know, it's easy to take care of our communities when there's unity. Well, let me say it's simple. It's not necessarily easy. There's work involved, but it's simple. You know, it's not complex. It's not complicated. It's just that way when you don't have unity. When every time something goes off path, you feel like somebody's trying to sabotage you and ruin your life and destroy you, and niggas is always going to be niggas. You know what I'm saying? We cannot keep going into that state. We got to get into I trust you, and I trust you even when you make a mistake. I trust your dysfunction. I trust you because I'm growing too, and you're growing too, and we're growing together. And eventually, we're going to be able to look back at this time and be like, yo, remember when we were some slack-ass bums with this and now we on point? So, yo, take the time, family. Work with yourself. Work with your family and your friends that's so inclined. Just work. You know what I'm saying? Put in the time and we'll get what we want. That's just the natural outcome of life. If you work for what you want, you get what you want, man. And I don't care what you say. I know I was raised on Disney movies, and so I got some fantasies and fairy tales I had to outgrow. But I do know that one thing that is not a fantasy is if you work for something, you get that something. It don't always come instantly, but it comes, family. So I encourage you, stay on it. Stay reading. Stay talking. Stay growing and building and working, man, because it's life. This is how we have become the powerful people that we are, is working through these situations and thinking our way through them and feeling our way and working our way. So ain't nothing going to stop us but ourselves. And clearly we ain't going to stop ourselves. That's why we're having these conversations. And I thank y'all for joining me this evening and every Monday night. We're going to be right back here next Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The chat lines be open if y'all want to get in the chat. The phone lines be open if y'all want to contribute. And the Facebook page is up if you want to follow up on some information that was dropped here. We put details up there. We put books and movies and things that were listed here, websites to check for, just, you know, more information to get deeper into the subject that we discussed. And feel free to go back and look at the archives. Listen to the archives, see what we've talked about before, what kind of people we've had to drop some gems on y'all and have opened up lots of resources for us to move ourselves forward. We got to continue the dialogue and have consistency is all until you get it. Work until you get it, fam. So I see y'all. I appreciate y'all. Enough love to all y'all. Keep doing your Ethiopian work. Keep being black and whole.